thy grace so full and free. Thou hast bid me come to thee. Thou hast bid me rise and come to thee. Since thy promise I have heard, I will take thee at thy word. I will trust and take thee at thy word. Lord, I thank thee for thy love. Draw my heart to thine above. True and faithful would I be. Jesus, keep me close to thee. Since I trusted thee that day, thou hast led me all the way. Thou hast kept and led me all the way. And someday in heaven above, I will praise thee for thy love. I will sing and praise thee for thy love. Lord, I thank thee for thy love. Draw my heart to thine above. True and faithful would I be. Jesus, keep me close to thee.
All right, please be seated and turn to page 252.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All right, turn over to page 274. 274. Please stand while we sing.
When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching, with our lamps are trimmed and bright. Oh, we say we are ready, brother. Ready for the soul's bright home. Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord comes home?
If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer, "You'll be done"? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting while the Lord comes home? Have we been true to the trust he left us? Do we seek to do our best? If in our hearts there is not condemned us, we shall have a glorious rest. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting while the Lord comes home? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting when the Lord shall come? Please be seated.
Amen. I'm so thankful for that song. Thank you, Sierra, for singing it to us. Encouragement to put the focus right where the service is going to be about. And we're going to focus upon the Lord Jesus and what He has done for us and the testimony of His grace. I'm going to read a couple of verses, then we're going to have a testimony here. And we'll get started with the message. Looking forward to finishing it with a opportunity to take the Lord's Supper this evening. I encourage you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1. This is what God is doing in our lives. And for the shortened version here, we'll just read verse 8 and 9. Whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. We're going to hear a testimony at this moment, and I hope that as you listen to this, this is a man who's just trusted the Lord, but he was in the baptism today, gave his testimony, and I think you're going to hear some of those very themes. I don't think he knows about this verse, but he knows the experience of this verse. He's living it, and I want you to hear that testimony, Brother Doug.
I encourage these men in the correctional institution to write their testimony. And I love to tell testimonies, and because every time that I tell a testimony or hear a testimony, that reminds me of my testimony. And I hope you'll think that even tonight. You see, it was back about 1973. I went to a revival service with my girlfriend at Mount Orm, and I went forward that night and asked the Lord to make me a soul winner. You know, I've got to share the gospel many times and maybe some decisions, and about 3 years ago I was in charge of a pastor's banquet for the Gideons, and we wanted a testimony there to share with the pastors. And we got a video. We got a video to show the pastors. And that, since that night, you know, I've been challenged to, I don't want to tell you a story about a video. I want to tell you something that I've seen. And that day started, the day started today. I had some folks at our house that were raised in a Catholic family and don't know Christ, but they were interested in deer hunting and they were friends of friends, and I took them and I got to share the gospel with them. And in fact, I told them, we're going to have a baptism in jail. And they said, well, he said, my kids haven't been baptized. He said, in a horse tank, that'd be great. Instead of having just a priest shoot something in on their face. And I gave them a Gideon testing. But even better than that, today, those of you that were able to witness Nick and Ryan's baptism, when Nick came in, he gave me his testimony that he had written. I've given my version of this testimony a few times, but this is Nick's handwriting. So I lived a good childhood. Both parents worked hard always, been there for us. It's not their own fault for my path. I took, it was my own. I started when I was 12 or 13. I became a gang member and started drinking and doing drugs. I was in and out of lockup. I went to prison when I was 21 for 9 years. Got out on the first day out, back with my gang, and started dealing a lot of drugs, which got me into a federal charge. And I went back into prison in less than a year for 10 and a half years. I got out July 1st, 2024, and got back into doing drugs and fighting. I ended back up in jail September 18th, 2024. And currently in jail, but on September 26th, I decided to go to church. And I met a friend who taught me about Jesus' sacrifice for us. And even though I'm in my 40s, it's not too late for me to change to love. I, for the first time in my life, felt a joy that I can't explain because of his passion of the words that he spoke. I was saved and reborn. A weight was lifted from me that day, and I still struggle, and now I live my Christian life. There will be people that won't accept this choice I made and may try to harm me, but they cannot take my life because I've given it to our Lord. I will pray for them and hope that they will find their way as I have found mine. Thanks to the brothers from the Bethel Community Baptist Church, I'm now ready. I witness a lot of pain and violence that I will never forget. Lost a lot of friends, but that is my testimony. Now I'm a witness to God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. Thank you to my brothers that showed up every Sunday and Thursday. I will do my best in life and not to let you down. Thanks to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for your unconditional love and sacrifice. God bless you all with all my respect and love.
Yeah.
That was a high there to be there. And before we'd gone into that service, there was a man on a bike waiting that had bonded someone out of jail. And as we came out, that man said, "Would you mind giving this lady a ride home?" And this young lady came out there. She was kind of wrapped in an old towel. Her name was Gabby. And she said, she got in our car, and she said, I said, "Well, where do you live?" And she says, "Just there behind the courthouse, behind the courthouse." We drove Gabby down Main Street. We shared with her how God loved her and how He could forgive all the past. Stopped and opened the door, and she got out at the drug house, right there behind the courthouse. Oh, we've got a work to do. God is faithful. You know, the only thing that I worry about this day, it's kind of a mountain, mountaintop. Mm-hmm. And that's when sometimes the war comes. Mm-hmm. So I ask that you pray for me this week.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen, Doug. Thank you for sharing that. He's talking about the salvation of his soul. I love that. It just caught my word there. He said, "I have a joy that I cannot explain." And as we look at these words, we see you rejoice with joy unspeakable. And this is the reality, not for the mature, not only for those who have grown up in church. It is the reality of everyone who knows Jesus Christ. As we turn to this, I want us to focus upon this joy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a cause for this joy. He says, "Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And you have to go back to the beginning of that phrase. It says, "In whom?" And what's really beautiful about this, we've been talking about even joy through faith in verses 6 and 7. But he comes down to the end of verse 7. He says that praise and honor and glory might it happen at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so we're waiting for that Savior, that man who walked this earth, who rose again from the dead after his crucifixion, whose hands still bear the scars. We're singing in the jail today the song, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, Not in Device or Creed. I trust the ever-living One. His wounds shall plead for me." To explain to these men that yes, he died and he was glorified, but he still has the holes in his hands and the riven side. That when you look upon him, you see him as the Lamb of God that was slain. He says, and when you know Jesus Christ, you love him. There is a commitment in your heart that says, I am going to sacrifice everything for this man who has loved me and gave himself for me. He says, in this expression, when he says, whom having not seen, it means that you've never seen him. Never in one point in your life, these believers that Peter was writing to, had they ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter had. He had met him on the Sea of Galilee. He had been called by Jesus, and he had followed him. He had walked with him. He saw the risen Christ. And he was with him for 40 days until his ascension. He had seen the Lord, but there were converts out there who they had never seen him. And yet they loved him still. And he says, though now ye see him not. The point is at any point they had not seen him even in an ongoing way. There was no living by sight towards Jesus Christ. He has been taken up into heaven. He is at the Father's right hand, and he ever lives to intercede for us, and yet we only can believe that. We do not see that. And I think part of this, just my inclination, is that is the mode by which God expects new covenant believers to live in. Though now ye see him not. I don't think it should be our desire to be seeing a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's going to happen. I'm waiting for him to come back. But I'm talking about there's a push for people to have a vision of Christ, to see him. And I think that's not what God has desired. And I take anyone who claims that they have seen him with a grain of salt, because that's not the experience that God gives to his church. He says, you are not seeing him, yet you are believing. You rejoice in this Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that our joy has a source. We think of Philippians chapter 3, where he says, finally, my brethren, in a summary way, rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 4, he brings that again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we saw when we studied that book that rejoicing is a summary term for faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:3 makes that clear. For we are the circumcision. We truly have a right relationship with God, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You rejoice in Christ because you do not have confidence in yourself. You are not putting any iota, and that song is so beautiful because he says, not in device or creed, nothing that I could do, or even in just a plain doctrinal statement, but I trust the ever-living One. He's alive. I know him. My confidence is in him and what he has done. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And when we get a hold of that reality, that I have no confidence in the flesh, and I've got all the confidence in the world in Jesus Christ, I cannot be discouraged. I cannot be doubtful about when I get a view of Him and His glory and His faithfulness, I am filled with joy. Now that is true in the entrance into salvation. At the very moment that you believe Him in faith. But you know what? The Apostle Paul is not just talking about when you got saved. He's talking about an ongoing aspect to our lives. That I have no confidence in my flesh this week. I am not going to be able to live for Jesus Christ. But my sufficiency is of God. And Jesus is all I need. And He will come through for me. He will be faithful. And I can look forward and rejoice in Him. You can have a wonderful assurance, a wonderful confidence, a love that's bubbling over in your heart in joy to Him because of His salvation. You think about what joy there is in love. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. Ever had a barrier broken down, an estrangement of someone that in this place, and all of a sudden forgiveness is restored? Confession is made, forgiveness granted, the heart is overflowing with joy and happiness. Whenever a human heart touches and experiences the love of someone else, there's joy there. When you recognize that God, through Jesus Christ, has demonstrated His love to me, and that overwhelms our hearts. His faithfulness undergirds our lives. A key aspect, the key aspect that is going to be seen in our lives is a supernatural joy in Him. What is the truth about Jesus that makes you rejoice tonight? Do people like to share? Actually, I decided, we'll see how much time. Oh, we got a little bit of time. I'm going to put the onus on the men. Nobody's going to say something until we've had at least three men tell us one thing about the Lord that's causing you to rejoice in Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to open up for anybody. What's up? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's it. Amen. He has strength for us. Amen. Amen. His ears are open to our cry. You never count on Him or disappoint. Amen. Surprises many times, but it's there over and over again. Amen. What a wonderful promise. Yep. We could go And there's so many things. What you ought to think through is what we're mentioning is the attributes of God. You can do the actions of God. You can do the attributes of God. The actions of God are always flowing out of who He is. What He does is a reflection of who He is. We can look at His sovereignty and the fact that God is in control and we can trust Him. Things are not up to the chance or the dice or this way or that way. God's not biting His fingers. He's got a plan for our lives. We can rejoice in His goodness. Everything that He does is beneficial to me and to others. His faithfulness is mentioned. His sacrifice. His humility. Who would have ever thought that an all-powerful God would be humble? And yet He reveals the humility of God. His forgiveness. His compassion. His coming glory. It gets me excited when I think about someday this one who has been derided and ridiculed, who's never been publicly acknowledged on this earth the way He deserves to, Someday, he's going to get what he deserves. His victory over Satan, crushing the tempter's head. Oh, we could go on and on, just thinking through the Word of God, what He has promised. Really, the reasons to rejoice are just as thick as this book right here, and what He has revealed to us in it. I want to point us to the means of this rejoicing. The only way that you will rejoice is in this statement, though now ye see Him not, yet believing. You have to believe what the book says to be true, and if we doubt that, we will not have any joy or peace in our lives. We see this here in this passage. We've seen it in Romans. We happen to be in Romans 15, 13. He will fill you with joy and peace through believing. How does God? You are reserved. You are kept by the power of God through faith. This is the means. God wants us to believe Him. What is on trial every time you're being tempted? It is your faith. What is God? Look at as precious as gold. It is your faith. What is the only means by which you can be saved? It is your faith. God wants you to believe Him and trust Him. That's what glorifies His name. You know what? Faith is not seeing. Some would say, oh, I wish God would do something more. How many of you ever heard someone say, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? They're going to say, God, I wish you'd have given me more evidence to believe in you. I wish I'd have been able to see something more. God, would you have just proved yourself to me? But you know what? There were many people who saw Jesus, and they didn't believe. Seeing is not believing. In fact, the Bible says that if you were to see Him, there was no comeliness in Him that we should desire Him, Isaiah said. In fact, actually seeing the Lord Jesus Christ might have been a stumbling block to believe Him. To see Him hanging on a cross and being rejected by the world, there was not many people who stood around believing Him in that day. Well, seeing is not necessarily believing. Even Philip, Doubting Thomas. Thomas said, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus told him in that day, He says, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are all they who haven't seen and believe. That's you. That's us right here in this verse of Scripture. Though now we see Him not. This idea of believing in Him is this point of entrusting yourself. This, you are believing into Christ. It's not just, oh, I know some things that are true about Jesus and I believe in my head. No, we're talking about not a faith up here, but a faith that gets down here. A faith from the heart that's a commitment of myself to Him. I have entrusted my life to Him. Now, in terms of my eternal salvation, yes. But that encompasses so much more. It means I've entrusted my life to Him. It's not mine. It's His. He can do with it as He pleases. And in this reality, God wants us to live walking with Jesus Christ, talking with Him, knowing Him, loving Him day by day. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Moses endured as seeing Him who is invisible. You know what God is, if He was to show up and walk into this room, it wouldn't be faith, it would be sight. And someday that's coming. In fact, it's even hinted in this point when He says, though now ye see Him not. Oh, there's coming a day. This is the short period of time in our lives when we walk by faith. But there's coming an eternity of our future. We're living in the preface. We've got the whole book to look forward to, in which we live with the Lamb of God and we walk by sight. Our faith will become sight. These three things, faith, hope, charity. You know what hope and is going to be realized. Faith is going to be done away with because we're going to walk in sight. And there's reality, love. And the relationship with Jesus Christ is the greatest of these things. So he calls us. And this is the faith here that is being perfected even through trials, as we see in verse 7. What is God doing in our lives? He is causing us to have to exercise that faith, causing us, putting us in situations where we have to believe Him, and He squeezes us, and we say, is that really true? Yes, I believe in God. And that is the very thing that will cause praise and honor and glory to come to us and through us to our Father at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's coming a day, Revelation 22:4 says, and they shall see His face. In John chapter 16, Jesus told His disciples, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away from you. In regards to that, that was the resurrection and knowing He was alive forever. But that is a wonderful description of what's going to happen. We may sorrow now, but we rejoice in the midst of that. Someday, we will know the face of our Savior. Faith ultimately here brings us into union with the unseen Christ. This union, being faith or believing yourself into Him, is not a cold reality, but it kindles a love for Christ. And you see it in this element here. It is parallel with, ye have not seen Him, yet you love Him. And though ye have not seen Him, yet believing, ye rejoice. This faith that produces joy is akin to the very love of our Savior. It's a walk, it's a relationship in union with Christ that He's producing in a fellowship and a walk with Him. I want us to see the expression of this joy. We've seen the cause, it's in Christ. We've seen the means, it's by believing. What is the expression? He says, it is unspeakable and full of glory. It's unspeakable. Means you cannot put words around it. You cannot exaggerate the joy of God. Now, you can exaggerate a lot of joys, can't you? And say, man, someone has pizza, and they say, it was to die for. I don't think there's any pizza to die for. We can exaggerate a lot of joys, a lot of happiness. We can say a lot of, but you can't exaggerate this joy because you can't even begin to describe this joy in all of its fullness. Part of this idea of unspeakable is that it's inexpressible. It defies outward circumstances. It's a supernatural joy. When things are going down and yet our spirits are still going up, it cannot be explained. Talking to the men about that, and said, tell them, I said, you know what should happen here in the jail? I said, every day you walk around within these gray walls. And you do that day after day after day after day, and just living here is going to make you live in heaviness. But God wants to give you a joy that nobody else in this entire building can explain. A joy in Jesus Christ that defies the circumstances. There's an aspect of which the believer here experiences a taste of heaven, an anticipation of the end, of glory. See, glory here, when he says it's full of glory, means it's the very splendor of God Himself. The joy you're experiencing is God's own joy in your heart. You are experiencing the joy that comes from God. The great joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Did we not feel the joy of a testimony and those that were able to be there and just you all have experienced that and just hearing this? The joy of the Lord filling your heart because of God's joy inside of you. When you're rejoicing in a supernatural way, you are actually mingling with the very life of God. He says that He came that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What a beautiful thing for Christ to say. One commentator put this, he says, it's Christ in the heart means heaven in the heart and the heart in heaven. Your joy is an anticipation of the glory to come. And the joy that you will experience for all of eternity, no man will take it from you. And what is the fruit of this rejoicing? He says, receiving the end of your faith. The end has the idea of the goal. Put it this way, you have a ticket. Your ticket allows you to get on a train or say a flight, something like this. The whole purpose of that ticket is so that you can get on board. And when you get to that place, you hand in exchange your ticket and you say, give it away, and that's at the very moment that you walk down that plank and now you're on, and you've got the goal of why you had the ticket in the first place. Your faith has a goal. It has an ending point, and there's an exchange point that's going to happen. All of a sudden, you're going to receive, in the end, the very goal by which you have believed, what you have hoped for. Very interesting. Hebrews 3:14 uses this type of language when he says, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You're going to get to that place where the faith is going to be turned into sight, and you turn in your faith for the goal that God has for you. And what is it? The salvation of your soul. God, salvation is not real because you have believed it. As if somehow my faith produces something. God has revealed His salvation to you so that you might believe it. The faith is the evidence that the reality is there. How can I prove to you that there's going to be salvation someday at the throne of God? I cannot physically prove it to you, but the Bible says it's real because you believe it is. Does that make sense? It's not because you believe it that makes it real. But the reality of the salvation is there. It's revealed to you so that you would believe it. And now you have the evidence of things not seen. You're going to receive it because you've got the ticket. You say, is there a flight someday? I don't know, but he gave me a ticket. What's the point of the ticket if there's not a flight? I'm believing it. And he's going to keep you in that place of believing. And this aspect of salvation of your soul, I don't believe in this context, and we're going to see in later on in Peter, he does not use the word soul in contrast to body. The focus here of Peter is not that someday our souls are going to be saved, but it doesn't matter about our body. The soul is a picture of saying something that our body right now lives in the temporal, and it lives and dies, but your soul lives forever. And ultimately, your body is going to be resurrected and united with your soul. And I don't mean to get into all that, but I think part of what he's pointing to is the soul refers to the whole man, body and soul. And in the salvation of the soul, there's the salvation of the body. So the emphasis here is the salvation eternally, not just present, but for all of eternity. What shall a man give for his soul? He can give up the whole world in exchange for your soul. He says it would not be a good bargain for you if you frittered away your soul and said, I'll take all the pleasure this world can give me now. He says, you were cheated by Satan. Your soul is worth more to you than everything else in this material universe. And so, here's the hope that we have. You are receiving the goal of your salvation here, even the salvation of your soul, as you believe, as you rejoice, you are experiencing a present reality of a future destination that you are going to. May God cause us to rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Jesus Christ, because our hope, we have a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let us pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much